Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Is that our reason for coming here this morning? Good. You see, many people attend the Salvation Army on a Sunday morning, or they go to church, whatever, and they go for all sorts of different reasons. You'd be surprised. I've got a whole long list here of why people have told me they go to church on a Sunday. And for many of them, it isn't to praise the Lord, certainly. But for whatever reason you come this morning, we're pleased to see you. And you are very welcome. My name is Major Doug Askew. I'm not a member of this corps. I have to be careful. Sorry, there's a reason for that. They never sent me transfer through, and I've just found out I'm not a soldier here. So, okay. So I have to be careful what I say, don't I? But, yeah, I consider myself as a member of this corps. So we've come to worship the Lord, I hope. We've come to worship the Lord in his sanctuary, to give praise and thanksgiving. So this morning, I hope we're going to open up our hearts and minds to the Lord and to what he has to say to us this morning, because he has a message for each one of us somewhere. So you've got to be switched on a little bit this morning so that the Lord can get through to you. I do like to start the Sunday morning meetings with a song of praise, a lively song, and we're going to sing Who is on the Lord's Side. Here you've got a question straight away, haven't you? Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. Let's stand and we'll sing the verses straight through. please be seated. In a moment, we're going to sing the chorus, which is number 330 in the songbook, which says, "As we are gathered." Before, can I ask you, do we ever underestimate the power of prayer? Do we underestimate the fact that there are times when God answers our prayers before we ask? And do we remember that there are times when God honours what we are doing by answering the prayers that we haven't even prayed? I don't know if those experiences are something that affect you. Until I became an officer, I'd never realised that God could often answer my prayers that I never even asked for. Because, as somebody pointed out to me, he was seeing what we were doing and he was honouring what we were doing. Prayer is one of those things, isn't it, that there is so much that I don't always understand about it, and yet I have to accept, and I do accept it, because prayer is just so vital, isn't it? It's our vital breath. This morning I would like to offer the opportunity for one of you to pray with us. I like that when we come and there's an opportunity for somebody in the congregation to pray, because usually their prayers are just what are needed for that occasion. The Lord has spoken to them. The Lord has given them a prayer. And they can share it with us. Before we sing our chorus and share our time of prayer, I've just been handed a slip of paper this morning to say that Les Bailey is back in hospital. I can't give you any more details other than that. But let's think about him. Let's pray. Also, just over a week ago, I had the opportunity to visit a family. Now, a phone call came through family to somebody here, and I was asked to go and visit. And a guy called Keith Day, he lived up in Welbeck Close. The family realised that perhaps his lifespan wasn't very long. And so, within a few days, Glenys and myself, we visited twice. I phoned him every day, but then, at the end of, not this week, but the week before, he passed away. Now, I've been in touch with the family since, but I don't know much more than that, because we too have been away. We've been on an errand of mercy to see one of Glenys's aunts, who's very ill in Wales. So, I don't know anything more about the family, and I hope to catch up with them too. But let's think of that family, the family of Keith Day. At this time, because they realised that Keith was nearing the end of his life and felt that there should be some input. And so we were able to go and share with him with Bible study, not Bible study, with Bible readings and with prayer. We were able to do a pastoral duty for the Lord there. So please pray for them. There are probably many others that I don't know of, you do, who we need to pray for today. But we're going to sing this chorus twice. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. Because Jesus is here with us. Whether we want to recognise it or not, Jesus is here. And so we're going to sing this chorus twice. And then there's an opportunity for somebody to share in prayer with us this morning. The one thing I was looking forward to this morning was listening to the singing company. Do you know, I really enjoy that every Sunday morning, because in all our officership, we had many things. We had bands and songsters and stuff like that. But we never had a singing company, and so I really enjoyed it. Give Kirsty a do. She tried to get a group together for this morning, but she's not been able to do so. But many of our young people, or many young people from the Salvation Army in this division, have been, well, I could still call it music school, because I'm old-fashioned, but ACE, the Christian Arts. I don't know if anybody from here went, did they? Ben went. Ben went, okay. Pardon? Ben is still asleep. Yeah, I can understand that. They probably had a wonderful time. But this week, I heard a little story. I'm going to share it with you. And it's about a young lady who went to ACE. It's about Millie. Millie's 12. And she goes to a small court, not too far from here, and she wanted to go to ACE, but realised it was going to cause financial problems for the family. So she looked at other ways, and she phoned up DHQ and said she was going, and she was going to raise the money herself. She was fired up to raise the money this term, and so Millie set out to raise money to go to ACE. And she raised £460. Amazing, isn't it, this 12-year-old? All off her own back, she done it. And the fact is, by raising £460, she made enough money for her to go, and also to fund somebody else as well. And I thought that was a wonderful story. A 12-year-old raising that money so she could go and somebody else could go. And I'm sure all those that went have had a wonderful time, and when Ben gets back, we'll probably hear some bits and pieces about it. So, but the band are going to play to us now. The band are going to play a chorus arrangement called The Greatest Adventure. Sure, we enjoyed that message from the band, didn't we? And we were blessed this morning. I certainly was. It's not one that I'm familiar with. So thank you, Kevin. Thank you, band, for your message this morning. Something else I like is what we used to call years ago testimony time. And we don't seem to do so much of it, do we, these days? But wherever we've been, we've always had testimonies in our meeting. I was told you don't call it testimonies now, you call it telling and sharing. So it's got a little bit posh, but I still remember what it is. But thinking about that, wherever we've been this past week, the Lord has been there with us. True. You don't seem so certain. Wherever we go this coming week, or whatever we do, the Lord is going to be there with us. Do we believe that? I hope you do. Also this morning, how aware are we of his presence with us? Solomon in Proverbs told us that a cheerful heart is good medicine. I like that. A cheerful heart is good medicine. So this morning, let's be thankful for God's blessings, because to share the joy of the Lord with others can be infectious, can be encouraging, and it can be an inspiration. So surely that has to be good, doesn't it? I'm sure if I came to each one of you this morning, you could tell me how the Lord has been with you and blessed you in some way this past week. I'm not going to do that, so don't sort of start getting a bit uptight. But there's going to be an opportunity. We're going to sing song number 613, which is, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle, if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. Now, was there four verses, I think. So there's an opportunity for three testimonies this morning. So please, be quick, because we don't want to waste time, and please be brief and be to the point. Let's share it together, shall we? Let's encourage each other this morning in sharing. So we'll sing the first verse of O Jesus, I have promised, and then it's an opportunity for somebody to share your witness with us this morning. Microphone available. Anybody?
I just want to share, we have this hymn at our wedding, and that was 52 years ago, the end of September. And it's a hymn that's always been with us in our marriage. And I've always felt the Lord has been with us through our marriage, through our ups and downs. He is our strength and he guides us.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine, for that. Right, we'll sing the second verse, and there's an opportunity for somebody else to share this. Okay, we'll sing the next verse, and then there's still an opportunity this morning.
testimonies. I'm one of the ones who's complained often that we don't give our testimonies anymore. So I was waiting. I thought our friend up there had conned a lot of people to stand up, but he hasn't. Ooh, call yourself an officer. Just lately in my life, particularly the last year, my health has not been very good. And I think it's probably my heart has gone a bit wonky. So I went to hospital and had one of these patch things put on. Some of you might know what it is. What is it called? Heart monitor. Anyway. You wear it for 24 hours and then you go back with it. And then they look at it and either pass you off as a fake or... Anyway, I had a letter within a few days saying I've got to go back and see the specialist. But that doesn't worry me at all. The thing that worries me most of all in my life at the moment is I love to read the Word. I've got several Bibles at home, all different types. And my time is spent, a lot of my time is spent going through the Word. And I love it. But what I really want it to do for me, I believe every word that Christ is written about in all the Bibles, is for me to keep it up here. Especially if I'm damned to do a Sunday, which I am, which I love doing. And just over the last few weeks, my computer went, something went wrong with it. Died. And something went wrong with Maureen's as well. So I don't know whether that's the evil one trying to get at us. But anyway, we went into Waitrose, not Waitrose, the other part of it, John Lewis. And we bought a new doodah. And it's working. But what I really want to say is, I want to, in my meeting, not to say how wonderful I am, I want to say how wonderful God is and what he's done in my life. And he's done an awful lot in my life. Not an awful lot. A lovely lot in my life. And the one thing I really pray about every day is that the people in this church who I love very much, if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord in the sense that they have the Holy Spirit within them, then I would love to see them ask the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't be a Christian. You can believe, but you've got to have Christ in you. And you've got to know what he's doing in your life. And that is such an important thing to me. And I had a brother come and see me this week, who's a lovely guy, but he's not a Christian. And when he went, he only stayed with us a little while, but he's a lovely guy. And when he went away, I really started praying for him again, that the Lord would touch him. But you know, it's not up to the Lord, is it? It's up to me to really humble myself and try and ask him in the nicest possible way why he doesn't know Jesus, why he doesn't ask him into his life. And that is why, that's my next big thing in life, is to get my son saved. But it's up to the Holy Spirit. And, sorry? Oh no, not my son. My brother. My sons are well saved, sorry. They're well saved, and one of them is in the Lord's work. No, it's people that I know and people I think I know, even in this church. I'm not sure whether they are saved. It's lovely being friends, but we want to see each other in glory. And I really believe that. And if anybody wants to talk to me at any time, I'm really welcome to just spend some time. I've got a guy from the Corps coming to see me shortly, and anyone else who doesn't know the Lord as their Saviour, please, I'm willing, and I'm not a pusher. Amen.
Thank you, John. The one thing I don't like, and I always terrified me, is being conned to give me testimony. I want to do it because I want to do it. So I give people the opportunity. Thank you for that. We'll sing our final verse. Amen. Now let us share together, shall we, as we have the opportunity to give in the offering, to give back to the Lord some of the resources that he has been so good to give to us. Let's share in the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you afford to us to have money. And we pray this morning that as we have given in the offering, that we have used that money wisely. We spend our money on many things, but sometimes you are the last to get what is left. But I just pray this morning that the offering that has been given has come from hearts, people who love you. So again, we ask you that you will help us to use this money wisely for your kingdom's sake here in our town of Felixstowe. Amen. Amen. Following our worship, tea and coffee will be served in the community hall, and you're all very welcome to stay behind. As you can see from the band, we are fairly depleted, but we are going to up to the triangle just after 12 o'clock to hold an open air. So if you can come up and join us and sing along with us, that would be much appreciated. This evening we have a meeting at 5:30, and our meeting tonight is based around the big collection. We'll be moving into the community hall where we have a large screen now, cinema screen, and we will be worshipping with the normal songs and prayers, and we'll be talking about the big collection, and we'll be watching where our money goes and why we collect the big collection, why we've been going on about it now for a year. And so if you'd like to come along, you'll see some of the people who are helped by the money that we raise. So that's this evening at 5:30. The children's work has been going on really well over the last 2 weeks here at the hall, and tomorrow there is a kids fun day. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, if you have neighbours with children, then why not tell them to come along here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for a full day of kids fun. Last Sunday I said to you that the night shelter had been broken into, and the money had been stolen, or phones had been stolen. We had a collection, but many people said they hadn't got the money on them last week. So could we have it again this week? So yes, we have. So the box is at the back as you go out, and if you'd like to make a donation towards that, please, it'll be much appreciated. The editor of our bulletin has been in Canada for 2 weeks, came back, had a quick wash, and now has gone off to somewhere in Devon or Cornwall or Dorset. And so the brochures have been issued weeks in advance. So that's why maybe we haven't all got all the up-to-date things on there. But one thing I would like to add to the bulletin, we have launched our now up-to-date website, and if you haven't seen it yet, look up Felixstowe Salvation Army, you'll find it there, and it's really good. And we give thanks to Jim and to his son Leighton, who've spent many hours on updating it to this new style. We've reached a milestone. There have been 9,700 images on the website, and I couldn't believe this. Since it started, we've had 700,000 people go to our website. 700,000 people. That's amazing. So we thank Jim and Leighton for that. And if you can find the website, it'll be really worth looking at. And Doug said, we pray for Les. The message I got also, he's okay, but he'll be in hospital for a couple of days. And he's in Stowe Upland Ward. Stowe Upland Ward. Thank you very much for listening.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 14. And I'm reading from verses 22 to 32. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading.
Songsters are going to sing to us, and they're going to sing a song, "Under His Wing." This is a beautiful little song, lively little song, catchy little song by Major Evon Field. And it's based on verses 2 and 4 of Psalm 91. Let's listen as the songster's been listening.
Thank you.
I wonder what kind of person you are. Are you a person who sees the cup half full, or a person who sees the cup as half empty? What are you really like at observation? We had an officer who spoke about observation one day, and Doug went up to him at the end of the meeting and said, "Did you realise your epaulet was upside down?" We're probably all aware of people who are always pessimistic rather than optimistic. They always see the bad instead of the good. They look for the problems instead of the benefits. At a conference, a lady booked in and was given her keys, so off she went to her room, only to find that somebody else's luggage was in the room. So she went back to reception and she said, "I have a problem." The receptionist says, "We don't have problems, we have opportunities." The lady said, "I have a problem. There's someone else's luggage in my bedroom." She said, "That's not a problem. That's an opportunity." She said, "It is a problem. It's a man's luggage." We come back to Peter. If you really, really look into this chapter, I wonder if, like me, you'll have realised that there's so much in here that we don't see. There's so much in this story to take in. I wonder with the other disciples that were in the boat, I wonder what their reaction was to Peter. Was he a hero or was he a fool? How did they react to him when he got out of the boat? Did they egg him on? "Go on, go on, go for it." Did they just encourage him? Or did they deride him and belittle him? Or were they just stunned at what he'd done? Or did they just think he was just plain stupid? Whatever their reaction, Peter must have had a certain amount of determination about him in order to just get out of the boat. He had the courage to actually step out. He mastered walking on the water. He did it. And then we're told he saw the wind. If we think about that just statement there, how is it possible to see the wind? We can see the effects of the wind. We can see the wind in a storm, the destruction it causes. We can see the movement of trees caused by the wind, or the curtains indoors swaying, or the waves rolling. But in reality, we see the results of the wind rather than the wind itself. So what form did seeing the wind take for Jesus that night? Walking on water requires not only the courage to take a risk, but also the wisdom to discern the call. Jesus had told Peter to come. Peter could have questioned Jesus, but he was bold enough to obey. Obviously, Peter overcame the fear of stepping out of the boat. But like happens to so many of us, we let our focus slip. We let our minds wander. We lose a sense of well-being, and suddenly we sense danger. I wonder if that's what happened with Peter. I wonder what really did happen to make him become afraid. Was he distracted by the other disciples in the boat? Whatever it was, he had experienced the sensation of walking on water. But Matthew wants us to understand storms can come upon each one of us at any time, and they can disrupt our whole being. They don't take the same course. We can't plan the best time for a storm to hit. It'd be good if we could, wouldn't it? They just come upon us when we are least ready. They can disrupt our whole life, making us stop and take stock. Peter saw the wind. We all encounter this. We start a new project and are filled with excitement and hope. We've taken a step into unknown territory, and we feel that we're on the way to achieving something really good. Then reality steps in. We see the wind. Obstacles come into our path. The unexpected creeps upon us. Plans don't go the way that we had planned. Sometimes it's people that let us down. Sometimes we have too great an expectation on what they can do. And sometimes people have too great an expectation on what we can do. And just when we look into free will downhill, we're faced with a high mountain. What happens next? Some turn back, some drown, but others become resilient. What makes the difference is the way that we weather the storm. This becomes evident in extreme situations like war, being taken hostage, and concentration camp victims. Studies suggest that the resilient people want to take control rather than be a victim. They have a bigger capacity of moral courage, and they find purpose in their suffering. Those who are resilient will find a way. There are many stories of ingenious ways how prisoners of war were able to communicate with each other, even when they were forbidden. They tapped on walls. Some used brush strokes, or they dragged their sandals in a certain way so that they could get a message to their friends. John Ortberg, in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat, says, growth happens when you seek or exert control where you are able to, rather than giving up in difficult circumstances. It happens when you decide to be wholly faithful in a situation that you do not like and cannot understand. It happens when you keep walking, even though you see the wind. Then you discover that somehow you are not alone. Jesus is with you. Abba Anthony, a desert father, was asked, what must one do to please God? The first two pieces of advice were expected. Always be aware of God's presence and always obey God's word. The third was surprising. Wherever you find yourself, do not leave easily. This has a tendency to produce people who live in a pattern of giving up. Growth happens when you seek to exert control where you are rather than giving up in difficult circumstances. You keep walking even when you see the wind. Then you discover that you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Resilient people remain committed to the values when tempted to compromise. We keep making the same mistakes, don't we? We can liken ourselves to the zapper in commercial kitchens where the fly flies to the blue light and the blue light zaps them. But the other flies don't take any notice, do they? They keep doing it. They keep making the same mistakes. Problems and discouragement are the blue light that makes sin irresistible. Temptation comes easier when life is not on the right path. But regardless of the path we follow, the Lord is always with us. Resilient people will find meaning and purpose to the storm. We are reminded that we must keep our eyes firmly on the prize. We must always keep them on Jesus. Viktor Frankl, a Viennese psychiatrist who survived Auschwitz and Treblinka, discovered that those who had no purpose, no goal, were unlikely to survive. Those who found a meaning and a purpose lived through their torture. Storms have a way of teaching what nothing else can. Dallas Willard writes, "I meet many Christians who, in spite of their faith, are deeply disappointed in how their lives have turned out. Sometimes it's simply a matter of how they experience aging, which they take to mean they no longer have a future. But often, due to circumstances or wrongful decisions and actions, what they hoped to accomplish in life, they did not. They painfully puzzle over what they may have done wrong, or whether God has really been with them." We have a life lying in front of each one of us in God's kingdom, and it's a wonderful life. God sent us Jesus. You know, I don't think if there had been a choice that Jesus would have actually chosen what was to happen to him. I don't think he would have planned to die by crucifixion. I don't think he would have chosen to be mocked by the jeering crowd. I don't think he would have chosen for his friends to abandon him in his hour of deepest need. Remember, it was Peter who denied him, Judas who betrayed him, soldiers who crucified him, and his body was laid in a borrowed tomb. But the greatest thing happened 3 days later. When he rose, he woke up. We all face storms, disappointments, times when everything seems to go wrong, and even our friends desert us. We all start out with good intentions, and if things don't work out, it doesn't mean that we've failed. I think it was Alexander Fleming succeeded making penicillin on his 200th attempt. He didn't fail 200 times. He learned an awful lot of lessons. But he learned to keep on trying. Even when our faith falters, it's easy to wallow in the disappointment. But we know that if we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he will be with us. When Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Jesus. He was afraid, but he still looked to Jesus. He obeyed. When we become apprehensive about the troubles around us, we have to remember that Jesus is the only one who can really help. If we want to walk on water, we have to get out of our spiritual comfort zone, and we have to obey. We don't know the blessings which God has in store for us. So when he calls to us to come, he will be there for us if we obey.
Let us share a prayer. Lord, today we offer up our praise and thanks for answered prayers, because we know that you are in complete control. We pray for all who are in desperate need for your will to be done in their lives. May they invite you into their hearts and minds and seek your forgiveness and your saving grace. And may they put their complete faith and trust in you to meet their needs. Lord, please send your power into those places where your people need you most. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing the song, Why Are You Doubting and Fearing? Why Are You Still Under Sin? For this song, my favourite verse is the last one. When in the tempest he hides me, when in the storm he is near, o'er the long way the Lord is my stay, and now I have nothing to fear. And amen to that. Let's stand and sing this song right for be seated. This morning we're going to have a sung benediction. The songsters are going to come and sing Lord of Grace, using a new choral setting by Sebastian Johnson, of the words of the 18th century lyricist Charles Goffin. Now, I'm sure some of you will be interested to know that Sebastian, a young composer, has links to our core here at Felixstowe. A number of us will remember his great-grandparents, Ivy and Jack Todd, lifelong members of this corps. And for many years, Jack was the songs leader and Ivy his accompanist. Let's listen as we sing to this song. A blessing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. Lord, may your love surround us. And Lord, please be gracious to us. May your light shine upon us and grant us the peace we seek. Amen.